Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Girl Podcast. I'm Stephanie Laska, best-selling author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, professor of sociology. We believe there are many paths, often unconventional, to achieve your goals. But we get stuck thinking we have to follow experts and fixed set of rules.
Well, as the leader of the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook support group with over 200,000 members, I see people are hungry for a fresh approach, not just for weight loss, but to help live their very best life. Season 2 of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast will provide lifestyle advice, lots of fun support, and practical tips to help you at home. Because you know what? You don't have to be perfect to be successful. Join us. There is no handbook issued when you become a parent. You go from taking care of just yourself for decades to suddenly being in charge of someone else too. And you know what? It's really hard, if not impossible, to do both jobs well. Sometimes being a good mom while trying to take care of yourself, well, for me it feels like an inner fistfight. I waver between feeling proud of myself one minute and then feeling like crap and feeling guilty the next. What gives? Tamara, is there a way we can take care of ourselves and become a good parent?
I think we need to find out, Stephanie, because sometimes, like you, I wonder if I can. Because first of all, it doesn't help that everyone on Facebook and Instagram have these like perfect families. Their kids are winning awards. They look beautiful. And I'm like, it feels hard to live up to that. And I know none of us are perfect. So Stephanie, I have a little game that I want us to play to reveal some truths about parenting.
Ooh, I like games, Tamara.
Okay. I'm going to be the judge and jury. I have a gavel, Stephanie. I am going to pose some parenting questions, and Stephanie, we have to be honest and confess if we are guilty or innocent of bad parenting behavior.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Stephanie. Here's the first question. Have you allowed your kids more screen time so you get stuff done?
Guilty.
Me too. Okay, both guilty on that one. Have you ever made your kids pack their own lunch for school?
Guilty.
I keep trying not to, and then they suck me back in.
Yeah.
Have you ever missed an important school event?
Guilty.
Me too. Have you ever helped too much on a project or did your kids' schoolwork practically yourself?
Oh, I've done it all myself.
Guilty.
Guilty.
Guilty. Okay. Have you ever hid in the bathroom to get a break from your kids?
Yes, ma'am.
You are going to parent prison. Okay. Do you ever feed everyone a pathetic meal because you haven't been to the store?
Chicken nuggets every night, baby.
I'm sorry. Boxed mac and cheese. Holla. Okay. Have you ever accidentally thrown something away of your child, but then deny culpability?
Guilty.
Girl, you have to hide that way deep in the trash so they don't find it.
It's important that you deny.
I know, deny. Have you ever not enforced bedtime?
Yes, I have. Guilty.
Guilty. Me too. Okay. Have you ever given in and said yes when you probably should have said no?
Guilty.
Last one. Have you ever bribed your child to do homework or anything, actually?
All the time.
All right, we're done with this game because we are two guilty, horrible parents, aren't we?
Oh, Tamara. You know what? I am guilty of all of these bad parenting moments. But you know what? Are they really so bad? I actually want to disagree with you. I am wearing a lot of hats these days, as I know you are. For myself, I'm working multiple jobs. I'm trying to be a good wife, pay the bills. all while raising two teenagers and taking good care of myself. I think my parenting shortcuts are totally normal and even acceptable sometimes.
We're here to tell you that you don't have to be perfect to be a good parent. I mean, just like everything else in this podcast, whether it be weight loss or setting a professional goal, you don't have to have rigid rules and experts. I think that's what's making us miserable as parents. You have to know yourself and be willing to follow the unconventional path. So today's episode, we are going to offer 9 unconventional dirty lazy girl parenting tips to help you be the best mom you can be. But first, Stephanie, let's take a real quick break.
Well, Mother's Day is just around the corner. And my new book, Dirty Lazy Keto, Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking the Rules, could make the perfect gift for any mother. Let me help you personalize your gift with a free personalized nameplate, kind of like a large bookmark. I'm happy to mail a free nameplate, or bookplate I call it, made out to your mom with a custom message and the U.S. only. You can request a free bookplate at bit.ly/DLK bookplate. Once again, that's bit.ly/DLK bookplate.
Thanks, Stephanie. Okay, let's get started. I'm excited because I need some help not feeling horrible about myself as a parent.
I hear that.
Okay, what's number one?
Number one, I think we just need to embrace our bad self and stop expecting perfectionism from ourselves and our kids. I mean, we don't have to do it all, right? How do we stop this perfectionism?
I mean, that's part of the problem. Like, we feel like I'm watching too many Facebook posts with parents, you know, and they're like perfect children. And I just, first of all, I remind myself that my parents were perfect and I turned out fine.
They were perfect? Did you say they were perfect?
No. And I think part of what I need to do is figure out those things where I get that perfectionist thinking and then really work, be mindful of those things. So for mine, I have this weird obsession, Stephanie, with how my kids look. They don't, if I want their hair combed, I don't want holes in their socks or, you know, messy clothing that don't fit, whatever it is. And in fact, I can catch myself getting really bossy and controlling about it. So like, for instance, my daughter had she wanted to go to school in this shirt that was way too big and like nasty, dirty tennis shoes. And I had to say to myself, is she going to die? Is she going to be in danger? No, then let it go. Cause you know what, Stephanie, I think I'm being selfish. It's because I see them as a reflection of me as a parent. Mm. So, yeah. So like stuff like that, I think I need to just let go. Cause really, you know, if they're in the school dress code, I just can let it go.
I hear that. Well, I'm certainly a recovering perfectionist myself. I'm definitely trying to break the cycle. I know it's not easy. I agree with that. And one of the things I've been doing is at dinner every night, Tamara, I'm asking my kids, what are you most proud of? And by asking that question, it really gets these terrific conversations going. And I start to gain insight into what's going on in their heads, which I enjoy. It's hard to get teenagers to talk, as you know. But my goal here really is to celebrate what makes us feel good about ourselves, as opposed to celebrating just accomplishing things or checking the box, so to speak.
I love that. It's a great idea. I'm going to steal that because it focuses not on like, you know, did you do this thing I told you to do or whatever, and lets them, you know, celebrate what's meaningful to them. So I think it's a great idea and it's very positive. It's like, oh, I did this positive, awesome thing.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Kind of just puts it on perspective.
Well, that's a great idea.
I mean, as you know, like number two, our second suggestion is really to pick your battles, right? Because we got to like let these small things go and like focus on what's important.
And that's the thing. I find myself getting caught up in dumb, kind of ridiculous things that don't matter when I should put, you know, if I'm going to fight or stand my ground with something, pick the bigger things. Like one of the things that a battle that I just recently let go of is cleaning the room. And I don't let them not clean their room, but I was like every day, you have to pick up every day. You have to make your bed every day. And honestly, it was a fight every day, like every single day. And it was like, why am I doing, I mean, this is one of those things, like, it's not a battle worth fighting. It really isn't. And also, it may be part of my little perfectionist. I want things to look like a good mom, like on the outside. And it doesn't. And I have to remind myself, we're parents. We have teens. They're going to have ridiculously messy rooms. So that was one of the battles that I decided to give up. I now, once a week, we clean up, not every day. And it's honestly, the kids are happier and I'm happier.
Well, picking your battles, it's not easy. You know, we all want to fight over everything, but you're right. I mean, we got to let it go. So mm-hmm. I like your once a week strategy. Mm-hmm. I know at my house, we used to really get in a lot of arguments over eating a big breakfast. I don't know why, but big breakfast and packing a healthy lunch. We were laughing about that earlier with your game. But it used to be like this huge fight at our house. We would argue about buying the right foods, packing the foods for lunch, making the food, and then most importantly, getting our kids to actually eat healthy food. And really, it was like we were beating our heads against the wall. And I finally just gave up and said, hey, you know, my son wants a quick yogurt and then head out the door in the morning. He wants to buy hot lunch at school. You know, so what? Why am I insisting on these huge breakfasts and these big, hearty, homemade lunches? And it kind of like what you said about the room cleaning, I realized it wasn't about them because they're healthy eaters. My kids are really, you know, always pick out good food. But it really was about me trying to be this like perfect mom that I grew up with on television. I thought, oh, you know, that's what a good mom does. She goes to the grocery store and puts this little brown bag and a little note in their lunches and all this stuff. Like, really? Is that what makes a good mom? I don't think so. I had to let go of that fantasy.
Exactly. And, you know, kids, like, they're going to eat fine if you just, you know, they'll eat their junk, of course. But I think we spend too, I think, you know, the problem is the more we try to control it, the better the sugary, nasty food becomes to them.
Yeah. And it wasn't really about like junk food at our house. It was more about just making sure that they, you know, ate what we packed them and preparing it and all that stuff. It just became like a pick your battle situation.
Yeah.
Or it could be a, you know, our number three, which is power struggle. That could have been it too. I mean, do you guys have a lot of power struggles at your house?
I think, yes. And I think most parents, things turn into a power struggle and it's hard. And I'm not definitely haven't figured this one out totally yet. Like how to avoid a power struggle. I know sometimes like we have teenagers and honestly, they do it on purpose. Like they want to get a reaction out of you. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I just try not to react to give them, you know, the reaction they want. And I just ignore them and walk away, but you can't always do that. So I don't know, like the recent power struggle we're having during COVID is about food again. It's funny how
food. It's always about food. I was just thinking that was mine too. I wonder that's about.
Well, you know, psychologists say it's the one of the few things kids can control.
Oh, yeah.
So during COVID, my kids constantly are whining about eating out. They want pizza. They want hamburgers. They want, which is totally fine. But it was starting to get really expensive. And I said, no, we're going to have some homemade meals. We can eat out once in a while. But oh my gosh, they would not stop. And it became every night an argument. So finally, I just said, okay, I'm going to give up some control in a clever way. So I said, okay, you can eat out whenever you want, but you have to pay for it because they both get allowances and they have birthday money and they have money. So I said, you can pay for it. And they first started,
they're like, what?
Yeah. But, and they did buy like pizza the very next night, but that slowed fast because they're like, their money's just flying out of their wallets.
Right.
And it did work to take out, you know, and if they start up again, I just say, okay, you have money, you know, fine. Mm-hmm. We'll order it. Just pay for it. And actually that made them feel like they had some control, but then also realize, you know, financial responsibility.
Yeah. They're going to go broke.
Exactly. Like I am.
Well, my power struggle at my house, it's not so much with my kids, interestingly enough, but parenting wise, it's with my spouse. And I think it's okay to say this because it's kind to my lovely husband, but it's really taking me many years to get to the point where I had this come to Jesus meeting and sat down with myself to realize just because I have rules or I have expectations for my kids, it doesn't mean that my husband has to have the same ones. I mean, we're different people. Yes, we're both parents, but I have different, you know, expectations, and I don't have to like rope him into all of my games and rules for the kids, especially now that we're all stuck at home. I just think that we've gotten along a lot better as a family when I realized that if I make a rule like no screens until after lunch, that's my deal. Like I'm the one that gets to enforce that if I'm making the rule.
That's great. Cause you have to work with your spouse because spouses can sometimes either sabotage you or if they're not on, you know, on board or it wasn't their rule, why should they have to, you know, enforce it?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's great to be super mindful and work together with your spouse or not, or yeah. Just
for me, it was really not like, I think that was a problem is before I kept thinking, oh, he's not on board. It's sabotage. It's this and that. But really, yeah. I don't think that's it at all. It's just, this is my rule for my kids. I can enforce it if I choose to. It's my decision. I don't need to, it's no one, I can't blame anyone else. This is my expectation, my power struggle. If I want to have a rule, I need to own up to it and not expect anyone else to follow through on it. It's just made us a lot happier once I realized that.
That's great. Yeah. You take responsibility and follow through. That's another thing as parenting.
Follow through. I hate that part.
I know, because you make a rule and then you realize how much work it is to like enforce it. So follow through is another piece of advice if you can.
Yep.
But number four is to mother yourself before your kids. In fact, even I would say prioritize your self-care. Because how can you be a good mother if your own needs aren't met and you're stressed out?
Totally.
I'm guilty of this badly. let me give you an example. Is exercising. I have a boot camp I do at night. And when I wanted to take it because I wasn't getting any weightlifting. And when I go to the gym, I wouldn't do weights. But I knew in a group exercise, I'd totally do it and enjoy it. But the problem was it took me away from home, right? During homework time, kind of a real busy time where I felt needed at home. And I felt such horrible guilt. But you know what? I said to myself, you know what? Dad can take over. He can handle it. I need to get this exercise in. And yeah, it's not a convenient time, but the kids aren't going to die. They may even not like it that I'm there, but guess what? I need to take care of myself and they can wait till I get home.
Right. No, you're totally on to that one. I know at my house, I've just realized, Tamara, that my kids, they mimic what I do and not what I say. I know that's probably obvious to everyone else in the world, but maybe it took me a while to catch on. I mean, I can tell them stuff like, hey, you need to get good sleep tonight. Get off your devices so that you can wind down. But then I climb into bed, Tamara, and I have my phone in my hand and I'm sitting there on Facebook, you know, managing the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook group until the wee hours. But it's like, hey, I've got to take good care of myself if I want to be a good mom. I need to get off my devices too. It's interesting, right?
But it's true.
Yeah.
Because most of us don't do what we, you know, what we say.
Right. It's like, I need to listen to my own advice.
Yeah. Because
the kids are certainly watching my behavior. That's for sure.
Yeah. And if you're taking care of yourself, Stephanie, they'll learn to prioritize themselves.
That's right. I know I've seen that on a positive note with my daughter. Mm-hmm. She's a teenager and she just really is emphatic about getting the right groceries. She's a vegan and she makes sure that she gets what she needs. And I feel so proud when I see her do that because that's really my parenting in effect because that's me with all my, you know, special DLK food that I always have to have. She's doing the same thing with her food, but she watches me and my, you know, prioritizing my health and she's mimicking that. So that does make me feel good.
That's awesome. That's amazing. And that has a way bigger effect than you telling her to eat healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. They do watch what we do.
Yes, which is scary.
I know, right? Be careful.
Well, another thing I'll just throw in here. And if you make a mistake, it's okay. We all do.
Totally.
One mistake won't kill a kid.
No.
It won't. No. I mean, unless it's a huge one.
Well, Tamara, okay. Do you ever call friends for support or what do you do when you're in trouble?
Yeah, that was my, that was our next one, was to dial a friend. I started off when the kids were little trying a mommy and me class. I hated it. It was terrible. It wasn't for me. But it's an idea for some people. They like going to parks and meeting other moms. I had a friend who would just meet moms at the park. That didn't work for me, but like right now you have teenagers and I have a work friend who has teenagers. And honestly, you two are my huge support system. Like, you know, I call you up and I'm like, wah, you know, I can't believe they did this. And it's been so helpful, mostly just making me feel like I'm not crazy. Like I'm not the only one who has crazy teens, or I had a crazy moment, or I'm frustrated or angry. So just having, you know, a friend to call or talk to is, for me, super helpful.
I agree with you. I know when my kids were little, I did a lot of those kind of classes, like, you know, ballet and t-ball and even the baby classes at the hospital. But now that they're older, Tamara, I'm slipping. You know, when you wrote this in our suggestions for our listeners, I thought, man, I could do better at this. I know I get busy with work and I make a lot of excuses about not getting to know the parents of my friends' kids. And I really could do better with that. So I'm going to work on that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, another thing you can do, and this is our next suggestion, is to hire a mom.
I love this tip. Hire a mom. Every mom needs a mom. You need a wife, right? We always joke about you need a wife.
Seriously, I need a wife. I'll take any form of help, a babysitter, someone to come in and clean house, a personal assistant, a grocery shopper. I don't care. You know, and not all of us can totally afford these things. But you know, you could trade babysitting. You can ask for gift certificates, you know, for babysitting for birthdays and holidays. And to be honest, Stephanie, this was when my kids were little, if I look back, honestly, it was one of the biggest regrets I have, is that I wouldn't do that. Like, people would even offer, oh, you know, I had a friend in graduate school who was saying, oh, I'll watch the kids, really, you and Joe take a night out or something. And I never took her up on it. And I was like, I needed it. I was like stressed out. I felt like I never had a break, pulling out my hair most of the time, because toddlers are crazy difficult. And so I think I would really encourage other people not to make the mistake I did, because you need their breaks. It's not optional. Like, you have to tell yourself having a break is not optional. So you got to find one where you can.
Well, I'm going to compliment you on this one. I know you're beating yourself up, but years ago we were dog walking and you gave me that same advice. I was struggling financially, and my family, one of us was out of a job and we were broke as a joke. And Tamara, you said, Stephanie, spend your money on your kids. You know, figure it out. I was complaining about all the activities my kids had. And you were like, no, no, you need to figure it out. And you were right. I mean, we cut out some things like eating out or even just some of our expensive grocery habits and changed just little bits here and there. And we were able to use that money to hire tutors, music lesson instructors, you know, sign our kids up for sports or whatever it was they needed. Because I needed help as a mom and I needed my kids to have some other, you know, other moms to help out. And I couldn't be that person. I can't teach them how to play a violin or, you know, t-ball. Yeah. I needed to sign them up. And so that money helped that you told me to do that.
I feel like it should be a priority with your money. Yeah. I remember telling you
that. Yeah, you did.
Cause I remember, we got a math tutor for my son. Cause honestly, once they reach a certain point in math, I'm like, we're useless. Like, I don't remember trigonometry. Totally. Right. So, and then he had friends who also needed it. And I was telling the other parents, hey, try this tutoring. And they're like, oh, we don't have the money for that. I'm like, seriously, you have the money to do all sorts of other things, but not that. To me, yeah. To me, it's a money that has to be priority, really. Mm-hmm. For your kids, for you, for the help. You need that more than other, you know, goofy things.
Yeah. Well, like number seven, I always had money for this one. number seven, our advice for our listeners is to really make sure you have a date night with your partner. I think it's kind of ironic. You might think, well, that doesn't make sense as a parent, but really when you're spending time with your partner outside of the house and outside of, you know, your kids, I think it makes you a better mom when you get home. So
totally.
I know I go on vacation a lot. I go and just do a lot of activities with my husband away from our kids, and people could judge us, whatever. I think it's important for us to have that time away to reconnect.
Yes, you need to connect, because you need to partner together to raise your kids. Like, so if you're not, you know, close to each other or communicating well, you're not going to be strong parents. To me, it makes total sense that your relationship with your partner is something you need to prioritize, because you will, like you said, you'll feel better, but also you'll work together as parents better. I also ignore this advice until later. Like, it wasn't until, cause like, I don't know, I think I felt guilty leaving the kids when they're little with a babysitter. So when they got older, I finally left my daughter with a babysitter for the first time. She was older, and we did a date night. And I was like, well, first of all, I worried. And then turns out my daughter loved the babysitter. She thought babysitters were so cool and fun. She's like, Mom, go out more often. I'm like, oh. And honestly, it did make a big difference. Like, my husband and I were like, wow, we haven't had an uninterrupted conversation in 10 years. So I wish we had done that sooner.
Yeah. Well, number 8. We want to tell our listeners that no matter what tip you're trying, just know that some kind of frustration is going to be absolutely normal. We don't want people to think just because on TV, you know, the parents all get along and they're having these beautiful family dinners with china and silver in the dining room. That's not how it normally is. So we just want to acknowledge that.
Yes. And in fact, account for it. Be ready for it. Like, it's your plans are never going to go like you want. You're going to get resistance from kids. They're going to have an attitude. I say just assume it's going to happen, and be mindful of what works for you to calm down and take care of the frustration. Like, for me, it helps if I just walk away. I count to 20. Not too long ago, I found myself starting to yell, like get the yelling at my kid. And I had to stop myself. And I verbally said, I don't want to yell. I think I need to cool down. We'll talk about this later after dinner. And then I let a couple hours pass. And then I went calmly to her bedroom and had the conversation. And it went much better from there. So I guess it's just catching yourself and then giving yourself an out, or some, whatever strategy works for you. Obviously we're all different, but for me, walking away helps.
That's a really good suggestion. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not as good at that one. I tend to get sucked in, but one thing at our house we do is I think we have a good sense of humor. It's hard to get mad at your kids when they remind you of you, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or your spouse. They totally look like little cartoon characters of you or your spouse. And when they're acting up, it's like looking in the mirror, you know? Yeah, exactly. I wrote that down. I'm thinking we call each other little names in a loving, humorous way when we start getting in that tone or that manner. And we have little names, like we call each other Grump Grump or Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
And of course, Mini-Me. What's that movie? That one's from?
I don't know.
Austin Powers. Isn't it Austin Powers?
Yes.
Anyway, it just kind of makes us laugh. Like, when you see each other going down that path, it's okay to call each other out and tease a little bit, and it kind of snaps everybody back into reality.
Yeah. And you're naming it. You're saying, okay, you're being a little out of sorts right now. You're Grump Grump.
Yep. Grump. We even bought some shirts that say it. I'm not joking. We have a Grump Grump shirt.
That's hilarious.
I think we have a hat too.
Nice.
Yeah, we're classy.
Well, our last one is along those lines, which is to admit your mistakes. Cause we're just here, both of us here, to say that of course you're going to make mistakes. Like, we're all doing it. We just don't confess to it. And I think for your kids, it's important to own up to your mistakes, because you want them to own up to their mistakes and even apologize if you have to. I'll just give a quick story of my most recent one. My daughter does not like me posting pictures of her on Facebook, and she said, "Mom, don't do it." And I'm like, "Okay, can I ask you first?" Because I'm a mom and I'm proud of her and I want to post about her. And she's like, "Okay, but you have to ask me." Okay, fine. And I complied. And then, but over time, I was like, "Oh, she won't mind if I just post this one, because it's so cute." And then, but then, yeah. And then my daughter, sure enough, sees it and is mad. She's like, "Mom, you told me you were going to ask me first." And I got really defensive at first, but then finally I was like, "No, you're right, honey. I didn't ask you and I'm sorry." And so I owned up to it. And I felt like that was important because that was a violation of her trust, even though I felt really justified. I'm like, "I'm your mother. I can do what I want." But I'm like, "No, we had an agreement." So, you know, I'm working on that. I'm not always perfect at that one, but working on it.
Well, I'm definitely not perfect, Tamara. I make tons of mistakes. But really, it's all we can do. Like you said, number 9 is to admit your mistakes and own up to it. I love that advice. In fact, I think there's really 3 powerful phrases as a parent that I know I use as often as I can at my house. And those are, number 1, I love you. Number 2, I'm proud of you. And number 3, I'm sorry.
Nice. Love that. So listeners, can you let us know how you've embraced your bad parenting moments? Tell us your story by emailing Stephanie at dirtylazyketo.com or via Facebook or Instagram at dirtylazyketo. Before we get to our personal favorite hacks, let's take one last break.
Today's episode is brought to you by my new book, Dirty Lazy Keto, Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking the Rules. In chapter 10, I go into this topic in great detail. This was an area that I had to work on. Over the years, my weight really suffered because I struggled to put my own needs first or last. I wasn't sure. It was an area I had to work on in order to prioritize good habits, like learning to exercise regularly and look out for my own foods that I needed to eat. I will share my whole story with you. Check out Dirty Lazy Keto, Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking the Rules. And it's the book with the big red dot on the cover.
Awesome. Okay, Stephanie, let's get to our hacks.
Well, I have a little story to tell you, Tamara. Many years ago, my son's elementary school was holding a Mother's Day breakfast. And it was early in the morning before school even started. And to make this event fit in my very busy schedule that day, I had to show up in the middle of my morning run. And Tamara, when I walked into the gymnasium wearing my running pants and my tank top and my headphones, a little bit all sweaty and gross, oh my gosh, I could see all the other mothers. They were all dressed up in high heels and everything was fancy. Even the tables were set with flowers. Oh my gosh, I felt so embarrassed. I started to turn around, but my little boy, he was quite little at the time, he grabbed me by the hand, and before I could leave, he dragged me to sit down to eat breakfast with him, with all the other dressed up parents. And before we sat down, he stood up and told the entire table of strangers, with a huge smile on his face, "My mom ran a marathon this morning." Which, of course, I didn't. But in his mind, I did. And I'm just so glad that I didn't leave. It made me realize you don't have to be a perfect parent.
Oh, that's such a sweet story. Well, my hack is about establishing communication with your kids, especially teens, because I'm there right now. But someone gave me this tip before, and that is not to force conversation. Teens, especially, the first thing they do is clam up, especially if you're like, "How was school? How was your day? What did you do?" You know, the things that we bombard them with and when they get home. And so what I was told, actually, a psychologist said this, which is wait for them to start talking. They will eventually at some random moment, probably when you're busy and when it's totally inconvenient, they'll just start blabbing about their day. And she said, that's when you have you'll find out a lot about their day and their thinking, and they'll really open up to you, but you have to wait for them to initiate it. And even if they do, you can't rush in and start asking 2 billion questions. The key is let them open the door, But then once they do, once they open the door, then you listen and then just gently probe them along, but not overwhelm them. That was good advice that I got.
I think that's good advice for parents of all ages. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, we hope that you enjoyed our fun podcast. It was a special Mother's Day edition. And really, our message here is that being a good parent, it's not what it looks like on TV or on YouTube, whatever it is people watch these days. But really, all you can do is be the person that you want your kids to become. So if that's someone who's self-reliant or ambitious, strong, healthy, confident, focus on those behaviors and focus on becoming your best self. And your children will end up striving to follow in your footsteps. So happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast.
And don't forget to visit dirtylazyketo.com, where you can join the conversation and gain access to all kinds of free content to help you on your dirty lazy journey.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider supporting us by subscribing, rating, and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Be sure to stay tuned for our next Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, where we give you even more tips and support.
You don't have to be perfect to be successful.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.